Well, this morning, as I've been thinking through throughout this week, just like I've been mentioning for the last couple of months, I've just been waiting on the Lord, wanting to hear from Him on a specific, something specific that the Spirit would want to maybe speak to us. I know He's speaking to me individually, and so sometimes I like to filter through and say, okay, is this just for me, or is this something that you would have me share with others? And so I've been working through some different things as we've gone through this. We've talked on a lot of different areas of ministry, which has been awesome. It's been a huge blessing for me anyway, to go back and rethink through certain areas of ministry and certain areas of things from the Scriptures. Wanting mainly to bring hope, encouragement, a sense of peace and God's presence in the midst of a trial and a challenging season for both all of us individually, and then as the church, the body of Christ, it's a challenge as well. And I'm clearly in tune with that and aware of that. So with that in mind, it was interesting. My week, early on in the week, very early in the week, probably Monday, I believe, there was a couple of people that had stopped by the building. We were still under doing some renovation construction, and a couple of people stopped by. And anyway, I want to condense the story way down, but there was just a real lack of peace for several different reasons. And come to find out, one of the people that I was speaking with didn't even know the Lord, and yet they'd come by. Obviously, they were looking to talk to. They asked for the priest, of course. They asked me if the priest was there, and of course, I had my construction clothes on, so I said, "Well, no, there isn't one." I explained that this is a Protestant church, and we talked through all that for a brief moment. And I invited him in to just sit in the conference room and visit for a little bit, but after a while of conversation, really found out that the lack of peace was really due because there was a lack of the presence of God. And I was reminded about something I had been taught very, very early on. And when you read through a lot of the letters, you'll find that Paul in particular opens up, and they're linked together. Pastor Chuck always used to tell us they're the Siamese twins of the New Testament. But they're paired together, and it's grace and peace. And grace always precedes peace. It comes before peace. And the saying is that without the grace of God being activated in our lives, we don't really experience the peace of God. And so I was reminded of that in my mind. That's all spinning around in my mind while I'm talking with this couple, and was able to share the gospel, and was able to pray a prayer. And this one of the one person that didn't know the Lord came to know the Lord. Praise God! That was an awesome divine appointment. And I think part of my thought was, wow, you wonder sometimes. Maybe you wonder. Maybe I wonder. Well, how are we going to be effective? How are we going to be the church? Well, God knows right where you are. God knows right where I am, and God can bring people across our paths. Now, truth be told, I was kind of busy doing some other things and saw people wandering around in the lot and kind of coming by the door and stuff, and was busy and just thought, well, anyway. Truth be told, I was busy, so I was really kind of trying to not interact with anyone. But on the same token, what was interesting was God just put it on my heart. I had to go out and visit with them and just see what was going on. And then that opportunity happened in the middle of it all, And I wouldn't have wanted to miss that. It's a divine appointment. I believe God's got that for you, for me, and other believers. We're on a divine timeline. Whether we know it or not, we really are. Our days are numbered. God's got a purpose and a plan for every one of our lives, each of us. And it's not just me, it's you. It's you and me. It's us. God's got this plan for the church. And we are the church wherever we are because we are members of the body of Christ. He dwells within us. We talked about that recently in a study when we covered early part of John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. We talked about where we worship. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. So it's not about a place, remember, it's about His grace. And we talked about that. And we talked about the uniqueness of that truth. And so I've been dwelling on this and thinking on this, how important it is, as we talked about peace last week, that we talk about grace as well. Because we don't really experience the fullness of peace unless we're really tuning in to God's grace, and that we need to know God's grace in our lives in advance. And so we did talk about the idea of knowing God and the importance of that, but that grace is a big part of knowing God and the importance of that for each of our lives. Grace simply is unearned, unmerited love and favor from God. In other words, there's nothing you can do today, nothing I can do today, that will cause God to love you any more than he loves you right at this second, right at this time. God is consistent in his love for you. It's not based on rules and regulations. It's not based on do's and don'ts or a list of do's and don'ts. God simply loves you and accepts you as you are, but does require of you and I that we accept him for who he is, our Savior, our Lord. We accept the sacrifice that he's made for us. But in order to really understand the sacrifice, I need to understand that I'm in need. And we've talked about our need for God. And that's a truth throughout the Bible. We need God. We were designed, as we mentioned recently, to have fellowship with God. That's part of the design. If you would, as we get started this morning, if you would turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84 in our Bibles today. This is where I've just found that I kind of ended up camping out on this thought of God's grace, that unmerited love and favor. Psalm 84, it says, is a psalm of the sons of Korah. And the Korathites are known in 1 Chronicles chapter 26, that first portion of chapter 26 of 1 Chronicles. They are known as the gatekeepers of the temple. And so they were known as those who would watch out over and, you know, really, I read one book and it kind of mentioned how they were kind of the janitors, as it were. And what a beautiful, and yet it is, Spurgeon said, it is one of the sweetest of all psalms in its lofty expression of the presence of God. And so it says here in verse 1 of Psalm 84, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What a wonderful expression of a desire to be in fellowship, to share and enjoy intimacy with the Lord. That's really what the desire of all of humanity is. Whether we're willing to acknowledge that or not, that is the truth. We all long for that type of intimacy and fellowship with God. It starts off, though, with how lovely or how beautiful, how wonderful is your tabernacle. And that word tabernacle is your dwelling place, the place of the Lord. And then it talks about the Lord of hosts, and we'll see that three or four times throughout this Psalm 84. We find it, and remember, the Lord of hosts means commander of all the forces of the universe. So we're not just talking about anybody, right? We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the commander of all the forces of the universe. That's what's at our Creator's disposal. Oh my, so hard to fathom and grasp that. But we all long for this fellowship with God. We all long for that intimacy. We're designed, and we talked about that recently, to share in that kind of fellowship. And we know that it's not just a location like we see they're focused on the dwelling place of God, but God doesn't dwell just in a building or a structure. He lives within you, within me now. He's taken up residency here. But the Bible says of the Lord, the earth is his footstool. Who are we to think that we could create or build a location for God to physically be? So it's not just about that. It's about who he is and the fact that he is everywhere, no doubt. That's part of omnipresence, all places at all times, as part of the attributes or part of the nature of God. And so it says here as they go on, again, these guys, the Korathites, as gatekeepers, they watched people. They longed to be there, and they watched people coming, you know, from long distances to be at the feasts and festivals, to come to these special times and be in the presence of God. And it says, even the sparrow has found a home. This little bird that's somewhat really of little value in many views, but it's all part of God's creation. They're all drawn. It says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even the little ones come. It says, even your altars, O Lord of hosts. Again, brings up this commander of all the forces of the universe. Even your altars. And then it says, my king and my God. And then I like how the psalmist here, you know, the Korathites say, you know, my king, my God. It says, it's personal to you. He's personal to me. Not this distant, esoterical being, but personal, loving, all-knowing God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. So that praise, that worship comes up from the presence of those gathering to worship and praise him. And so one of the first blessings that we find in this psalm, there's three tucked away in here, but the first one is verse 4. It says, those who dwell in the house of God, blessed are those. Oh, how happy are those who dwell. There's this wonderful blessing, this joy that's there, this peace, this fulfillment that's found, this tremendous outflow of happiness that's found are those who dwell in the house of God. So now, that's not just a physical place, remember, right? So this idea of dwelling in the house of God, that's not just a place. It's the idea that we are able to, because he dwells within us, we are able to be in that place of fellowship and intimacy. Remember, this is written in an Old Testament times that was shown to us and is shown as an example of the personal way that God is going to be within us. And so, again, it says that blessed are those who dwell in your house. Okay, so we find our home in his presence. That's what it's saying. So you're going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed as we find our home in his presence. That's the first blessing that we find neatly tucked away here in this particular psalm. Then he goes on, and pardon me, he says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Water pools up in the spots, these low spots. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion, or appears before his presence. And so, again, we're taking an understanding, an Old Testament truth, and looking at this from the New Testament perspective that we can see how wonderful it is. Here's the second blessing tucked away neatly again. Oh, how happy are you? How fulfilled are you? How blessed are you? The man or woman whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Again, remember, they would gather on these feast days. They would make that pilgrimage from wherever they were to come and be together, to assemble, just like you and I are longing today to assemble together. I kind of wrote a note to myself to remember to mention this because I think it's interesting when you read through this. There is a very present sense of this psalm speaking to us right now, right where we are, that we can gather with other believers in the Spirit, and we know he dwells amongst us and in our homes and wherever we are, he lives within us. So it's very present with us. But it's also a future idea, just as they would make a pilgrimage to gather together. We're looking forward to the time when we're going to be able to get face to face and gather together again and enjoy the dynamic and the work of God's Spirit as we assemble together. One thing I'll tell you, it has really been an encouragement to me, is how many have communicated like, man, I'm just so looking forward to being together. You know, the Bible does not say this, but this is a truth that we have noticed in life, kind of more of an old saying, but absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I think sometimes it's easy to take for granted some of the wonderful privileges that we have in being able to gather together. And it's easy to just kind of maybe sometimes blow it off, or just it's not convenient, or I don't feel like it. But man, what a blessing it is. As we read this, and we don't want to take it for granted going forward. You know, it still may be another month or so before we actually gather in our property again. We have to see how the regulations go. Our sanctuary space is limited, just so that, you know, we're clear on that. We have limited space. And so if there's a bunch of specific distancing, we can't get in and get together. We would have to have so many multiple services. It's just, it would be... anyway, so we're praying that God will give us the clarity on this, but we're aiming for hopefully sometime within the month, and it may be close to a month before we can get together, but we're looking forward to that time when we'll be able to do that. But one of the things, and when we look at this, the pilgrimage, we're set, so I've spoken kind of in the present, that we presently can gather with the Lord in his presence, and so we can presently do that in our homes, in our lives, that happens. Out in the future, we're talking about being able to do that together again, and then eternally. So it's both the immediate time, our kind of coming in the future, and then out into all eternity. We're on a pilgrimage. Remember, we want to be like Abraham was known as one who dwelled in tents, that he was longing for his heavenly home. He was longing for the permanence of that place. And you remember Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there with me also. So there's that idea that he's preparing this place that we're ultimately heading toward. We're on a pilgrim. Abraham said he is just a pilgrim and sojourner. Basically, it means I'm just passing through. Oh, how tightly sometimes we hold on to the things of this earth, and they slip through our fingers so quickly. May God help us to learn to enjoy the present moment. Your life sum total and my life sum total is the accumulation of many special moments. God help us to treasure those moments. They come and go sometimes so quickly. You know, I had put a post up this morning, as I sometimes do, and I know everybody's probably tired of seeing my sunrise pictures, but I notice the beauty in each one of them, and I'm just moved to post it because each one is so unique and so different. And that, to me, it's like the faces of different people I meet and come in contact with, they're unique, they're different, and there's special beauty about that individual. And I see the uniqueness of that in the painting that the Creator makes for us in a sunrise. And I really think that was a moment today. I mean, if it was 3 minutes, it was that would be the max. It was just that snapshot I took just lasted just for a few moments, and then it the sky changed. But man, what a beautiful thing. And to capture those moments and to remember them, to treasure these moments that you've had with your kids, with your wife, with your family, with the Lord. And we're going to look back and say, man, that was unique. That was wild, but God used it. So one of the things it says here, we're on this pilgrimage. And as we're on this pilgrimage, you may think about this in our present situation. As they pass through the valley of Baca. Baca really is... basically means mulberry tree, basically is what it means. It's descriptive of a mulberry tree. But the reason it's used in this is because the mulberry tree had a tendency to weep out sap. So it's basically known as this valley of weeping. So when you come across that word baga, it's in reference to weeping. And so this pass through this valley, this difficult maybe season, you're just passing through that. We're passing through that even now. But what is to come of that when we've gone through difficulty? The Bible says that you and I are to comfort wherewith the comfort that we've received from the Lord. In other words, I am to be a distributor, to share with others the comfort that I've found in the Lord. I found that comfort in the Lord, and He is the Father of all comforts, not some, not a few. The Bible says He is the Father of all. You circle that, and all means exactly what you think it means in any language. All means all. All comforts in and whatever your trial, whatever your difficulty, whatever the challenge you and I may face. And He says we are to comfort others wherewith the same comfort we ourselves have been comforted. So if I don't go through difficulty, I don't know that comfort. But because I go through, because you go through, because we go through that difficulty, that comfort we've received from the Lord, now that is then to be used as a blessing to others. We're talking about three different blessings. We've hit two of them. Blessing of those who dwell in the presence of the Lord or with the presence of the Lord. That's us. We get to praise Him and dwell in His presence. Blessed is the man and the woman whose strength is in you, who's looking to the Lord, whose heart is set on that pilgrimage. I'm heading for home, ultimately, that ultimate destination. But in that process, on that process, as I'm heading there, I'm going through challenges, I'm going through difficulties. But as you and I are experiencing those difficulties, we're also, as followers of God, we're experiencing the comfort that God provides in the midst of those difficulties. And as He provides that comfort, look at what it says. It says, they make it a spring. You see, you and I are to take those difficulties and then allow it to be a spring, bringing forth water of refreshing, a blessing to someone else. And it's that hope, that expectation that you and I have. And then it says the rain covers it with pools. In other words, there's going to be this pooling up of blessing that we can share with others. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion or before His presence. And so God sees all of this. God acknowledges all of this. So the idea is that I am the beneficiary because of God's grace, unmerited love, unmerited favor. You and I are blessed because of His presence in our lives. We are blessed as we are on this pilgrimage, on this journey to our ultimate destination of our home in His presence. But we are at home in His presence now, spiritually. Ultimately, all of this will pass away and we'll end up in His presence in a very spiritual and very real dynamic. I love that truth of the song that one day this our faith becomes reality. Man, one day our faith becomes reality. One day we will breathe our last breath on this side of eternity, inhale, and then all of a sudden I'm exhaling and on the other side in His presence. Woo, that is going to be a powerful, great time. And go on in verse 8, it says, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Oh, the petition that God would be attentive to us. It says, give ear, O God of Jacob. A little pause there, Selah. And then, O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Speaking of Jesus, you know, the Messiah, it says that commissioned one, that one that is sent out, the Messiah. It says, man, Lord, hear our prayer. We're longing for Jesus in that sense. We are longing to be with Jesus. We have Jesus in us, but we're longing to be physically in that sense, spiritually longing to be with Him. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. The Bible's so clear. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. And the reference is better than 1,000. Just what could compare to any place else you could be in? So again, these guys are just the gatekeepers. They're watching all this stuff going on around them. And I feel like that so many times. You're like, I'm just kind of, you know, serving the Lord, following the Lord, doing what God wants me to do. I believe, you know, just at His beck and call, whatever the Lord says, you know. Stop doing what you're doing in the construction thing and go, you know, talk to this person about this. Okay. You know, the Lord's in charge of my life. He's in charge of your life. He's our Savior. Not only Savior, we call Him Lord. That means He's master in our life. He is leading us. I have my plans, but I need to be open, and you need to be open to Holy Spirit interrupt us, where the Lord steps in and says, hey, divine appointment on schedule. show up, you know, that kind of thing. And then he says, as he goes on and says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says, there's no comparison. And we see that. We know that. Man, just to be a basic servant of God for all of us, just to be serving God, man, that's better than anything that the world has to offer any of us. Look at this in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, or a light, providing light, a sun and a shield, a protective covering for us. The Lord is a sun and a shield, a light and a protective care. The Lord will give grace and glory. The Lord will give grace and glory. I think about, yeah, I think this in Hebrews, where he says in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe, Hebrews 4, it says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. And so as the psalmists here are crying out to the Lord in a prayerful heart, you know, would you hear our prayer? And he says, let us come boldly. He invites us to come boldly to that throne of grace, unmerited, unearned favor. In other words, remember, you can't do anything. I can't do anything to cause God to love you or me any more than he loves you right this second. He loves you consistently and perfectly, whether you got up early or whether you got up late, whether you just jumped into the message right now or you've been listening all along. God loves you and has grace toward you. He has favor toward you. We say, oh, Lord, give us favor in this situation. God has favor for you. Thing is, I think that it's interesting to be the recipient of God's blessing and favor. It's also important to be, we are called to be distributors. So as a recipient of God's grace, God's intent is that he would bless the few, that through the few, he might bless many others. So a lot of times when we do get together, they're talking about gathering in the house of the Lord. That's what this psalm is about, gathering in the house of the Lord. We're looking forward to that. But would you be praying over this next month or so? Would you be praying along with me? How do I go and how do I prepare myself even now to be a blessing? I'll tell you one thing that's blessed your pastor here is I've gotten notes and emails, posts on Facebook, shout outs of just words of encouragement, and it is a blessing. Those words of encouragement are a blessing. There are many who are tuning in and who are giving to the work of ministry here through the church here and giving. And I just want to say thank you, humbly thank you for what you're doing in being partnering with us. It's such a blessing. So we are not only the recipients of blessing and grace, we're to be those who are being gracious towards others. The Bible says that our words are seasoned. Our words are to be seasoned with grace. Oh, it's so easy to have sharp words, to have a critical spirit. But the Lord calls us out of that and gives us this new opportunity to be gracious, merciful, and loving. I want to read one other thing that we've talked about from time to time. And it's kind of an important little note that we find about God being, I think it's really that idea of how he gives and cares for us, not only in that grace, but the strength that we find in grace. It's made perfect in your weakness, in my weakness, how important that is to be a dependent person. Again, this is all talking about this, that the Lord will give grace. He gives that grace. But as he gives that grace, notice how part of this, it says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So the last blessing that we find, the third one that we find in this psalm is, oh, how happy or how fulfilled is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, who trusts in you. So We want to be those who are looking and acknowledging and desiring to dwell in the house of God. We want to acknowledge that we do dwell in the house of God. He dwells within us. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's dwelling within us. Then we also then in verse 5, that was verse 4, in verse 5, those who are also making their way, they're in a pilgrim, they're in transit. I'm in transit. You're in transit. You ever track your packages? You know, you get online, you track your package. Man, isn't that cool to know that, man, God's got me on a trajectory. You know, he can track me and he knows that, man, I've been sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit, the seal of promise, the Bible says in Ephesians. You and I are sealed with the seal of promise, and we're in transit, we're en route. From the time you gave your life to Jesus Christ out on into the time you pass from this life into eternity, you are in transit. That's what it's talking about. And we want to, man, that's there's a blessing in acknowledging that we're in transit. And then this last one, those who are really trusting, leaning on, relying on, finding our strength in the person of God. So grace finds, before I say that what grace finds, I have to acknowledge that grace is being distributed to me because I'm in need of it. God does for me and does for you what we could never do for ourselves. As we're celebrating Memorial Day, and we talked about that in our opening prayer, and as we celebrate and are thankful for those who have sacrificially shed their blood that we might enjoy the life that we live here in the United States of America and our Western world, there was one who shed his life and gave the ultimate sacrifice that you and I might have everlasting life, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our strength. We want to trust in him and not in ourselves. And so I'm the recipient because God paid the price that I could never pay. And that's really God's grace. I don't deserve it. I did nothing to earn it. He just said, there it is. All you have to do is accept the gift. Oh, what a great thing. It really is good news. So this thing that we find here, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly? Sometimes we may feel like God's holding out on us. How come I didn't get this, or how come I didn't get that? God's not holding anything back from you or from me, because the Bible says he doesn't do that. In the 73rd Psalm, in the first verse, it states that God is good. God is good. Blanket statement. We can find that throughout the scriptures, but it just says God is good. And here it says that God withholds no good thing, no good thing from us. You remember in James said in the first chapter that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, that our Father wants to give good gifts. Throughout the scriptures, this is a constant theme that God wants to bless and give good gifts to us, his kids. And I think for me, a lot of times, am I available to receive those gifts? Am I open to that? Am I aware of that? I think that one last thought in this giving of good gifts, the blessing of that, is we also know that God is at work in your life and at my life, even though I don't know it. Because there's so many times that I look back over the years, and I look back and I think, wow, man, I am so glad God did not answer that prayer the way I wanted it answered originally. You see, Father does know best. We can trust him. And so for me, a lot of this last few months has been that. Just a constant, actually the last couple of years have been a lot like that. Actually, my whole life has been a lot like that. Really just leaning on God, trusting him, not always knowing what's exactly coming around the corner, but knowing that all things, the Bible says, remember Romans 8:28, all things are working together for the good, for those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. And so you and I are his kids. We love him. We're were wanting to follow his lead. And he's not going to withhold from you. He is good. He's not going to withhold anything good from you. And you know what? When I look back, I see, oh God, you knew exactly what was best. Thank you. Because one of the things I've come to conclude is that I look back on it and then I realize that what I immediately wanted wasn't really what I ultimately really needed or wanted. I found that God always gives us exactly what we really, really want because he knows our deepest need past the surface situation. What a blessing that is. So, God's grace. I want to read this little devotional thought. I read this from time to time. This is, I've gone all the way through it. I read it fairly regularly, actually. It's called The Valley of Vision. It's a little devotions from the Puritan time period. So these are 300 to 400 years old, these writings. It says, so bear with me, it's written in a way that you have to kind of pay attention and think through because it's not written in our common English. It's not written in the kind of slang I would speak, that's for sure. But it says, Lord Jesus, it's called Grace Active. And it says, Lord Jesus, great high priest, thou hast open a new and living way by which a fallen creature can approach thee with acceptance. Help me to contemplate the dignity of thy person, the perfectness of thy sacrifice, the effectiveness of thy intercession. Oh, what blessedness accompanies devotion. When under all the trials that weary me, the cares that corrode me, the fears that disturb me, the infirmities that oppress me, I can come to thee in my need and feel peace beyond understanding. The grace that restores is necessary to preserve, lead, guard, supply, help me. And here, in thy saints, encourage my hope. They were once poor and are now rich, bound and are now free, tried and now are victorious. Every new duty calls for more grace than I now possess, but not more than is found in thee, the divine treasury in whom all fullness dwells. To thee I repair for grace upon grace, until every void made by sin be replenished, and I am filled with all thy fullness. May my desires be enlarged and my hopes emboldened. May I may honor thee by my entire dependency and the greatness of my expectation. Do thou be with me and prepare me for all the smiles of prosperity, the frowns of adversity, the losses of substance, the death of friends, the days of darkness, the changes of life, and the last great change of all. May I find grace sufficient for all my needs. Father, thank you for such grace, unmerited love, unmerited favor. I read just now something, it stirs my heart because written 300 or 400 years ago, it expresses exactly how I see you and how I see life so often. And it's because a brother or a sister or a group of saints back a few hundred years ago had that same heart for you as we all share for you. And it goes on back a couple of thousand years. We will reflect on that time of Pentecost in our next message next Sunday. As we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, we'll talk about what that means. And as your Spirit fell fresh upon the church for the first time, Lord, would you fall fresh upon us today? Lord, our hearts are open to you. That simple prayer of faith, just if you need Jesus, just invite Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. Acknowledge to him your need for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. Invite him into your heart, and he'll make your heart his home. All you have to do is confess or just say, Jesus, will you forgive me of my sin? I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And he will be just that to you. He will be your friend forever and ever, and you'll have everlasting life. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters today. May these truths be ours. May we not only be the recipients of this grace, but may, Lord Jesus, would you help us to be distributors, to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.